Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. I'm sure that struck the disciples as a rather strange thing for them to hear, coming from their Lord and from their Master, coming from their Messiah, coming from the Son of God, coming from the one whom they had followed day after day, week after week, month after month, coming from the one who had healed them and called them and touched them and fed them with bread and fish, coming from the one who had gathered crowds and proclaimed the good news of God's love to everyone. Coming from this one incredible rabbi and Messiah, coming from Jesus, that must have been a strange thing, a difficult thing, an unwelcome thing to hear. Jesus himself recognized the difficulty that the disciples had hearing this word. He himself said, I know this is troubling you. He said, But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He knew, he could see, he knew them very well. He could see written on their faces, I imagine, in their body language, and in what they did not say, he knew that they did not want to hear about his going away. They did not want to hear about him dying. They did not want to hear about his departure. Even though they only imperfectly understood who this Jesus was, even though they only imperfectly understood the nature of his ministry, even though they imperfectly understood the nature of Messiahship, they did not want this Jesus to go away. And quite frankly, we share their reluctance to let him go. I imagine they were wondering, well, now how in the world are we going to have contact with God now that Jesus is leaving us? How can we possibly find our way on our own? And we ask the same question. How can we make it on our own? That seems to be what we're expected to do. That's what the world seems to say. You must be independent. You must be out on your own. You must do things for yourself and not depend upon anybody else. You must lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. That seems to be what we're expected to do. That seems to be what the disciples were thinking they were going to have to do now that Jesus was leaving them. The good news for us is that Jesus doesn't leave us alone, that he didn't leave them alone, that he indeed promised them. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go. Your advantage. Now, Jesus, how in the world could it be to our advantage that you're going to leave us? That'd be my first question. How could it possibly be to our advantage, to my advantage, that you're going to leave me all here by myself to face this cold, hard, cruel world, and you're going to go away? It's to our advantage, Jesus said, because until he goes away, he can't send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the presence of the Almighty God, which filled and empowered him. He can't send the Holy Spirit, the advocate, to live within each of us. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much prefer to have Jesus sitting right there. David, I wish you were Jesus.
Good thing for me I'm not. It hurts.
I wish you were Jesus, David. Because then I could sit down right beside you like I was doing just a few minutes ago and tell you my problems and tell you my fears and tell you my pains and anguishes and tell you all my hopes and dreams and then pull you aside even closer and say, I got some things I got to share, some things I did wrong. Some things that I need to confess, Jesus. And you could sit there and listen and pat my hand and tell me it's okay and say, Look at my hand. You see this hole? I died for you. Now, if Jesus was sitting right there, we could all do it, couldn't we? You think the lines to get to see Santa Claus are pretty long. The line to sit down next to Jesus and tell him your troubles would be even longer. I'm going to tell you, my friends, we got something better. We've got something better than Jesus in the flesh sitting right here where David is. You don't believe me? We've got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit, the advocate, the guide, the counselor, who comes to live with us and within us to communicate the real presence of Jesus here and now. You see, the truth and the wild paradox of all of the Christian faith is that while Jesus is truly in heaven above with God the Father seated at the right hand in glory, making intercession for us, so also by the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got Jesus seated right there. You don't look like Jesus. Where's your beard? I know a minister. He's a friend of mine. He's part of the Chrysalis community. I don't know what church he's a member of, and I don't really care. But he has this long hair and this really big beard. His name is Lynn Neighbors. And when I see him doing communion or up preaching, I just kind of have to do a double take. For I think I'm looking at Jesus. Looks just like Jesus. Well, sometimes appearances are deceiving. The Scripture says, when the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, Jesus is present. So believe it or not, David, you are the real presence of Jesus. And so, huh? I may take you up on that. You are the real presence of Jesus. So are you, Les. Georgia, a woman. Gender has nothing to do with this. Georgia, you too. Chuck, Jackie, Gary, and Para, Tim, each of us. Each of us. Even Roma. Each of us. When the Holy Spirit resides in us, each of us can be the real presence of Jesus to each other. That's why Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, well, here we go. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." I knew it was too good to be true. Gentle, loving Jesus, accepting, all loving, all accepting, whatever, you know, come to me, there's nothing that'll keep you away, and that's true. Nothing. If you feel called to come to Christ, come. The love of God can overcome any sin and transform any sin. But unfortunately, we have to deal with it first. The Holy Spirit, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because they, the world, do not believe in me. Frankly, the world doesn't believe in sin. Anything you want to do, it's okay. Doesn't matter. So long as you're not hurting somebody else, that's not a sin. They don't believe that it is possible to fall short of the glory of God because the world does not believe in God. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world and us of sin, of falling short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit comes to show us in our lives where we fall short of what God's will is for us. The Holy Spirit comes to show us how far we fall short of God's glory and majesty, to show us that we cannot possibly attain it on our own by our own bootstraps. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, and us too. And about righteousness, because I, Jesus said, am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. What does that mean? With Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit comes to live and reside in each and every one of us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and when He lives in each and every one of us, we become part of the body of Christ, the church. And miraculously, over time, we become transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit into the likeness of Christ, into His very being and nature. The hymn we sang today before the gospel reading, one of these verses just popped over off the page. It hit me just as we were singing it. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will, to do and to endure. Until with thee I'm going to will just one will, God's will. Until with thee I'm going to want just what God wants for me. Until within my very being, what I want to do is in accordance with what God wants me to do. That's what it means to have the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, residing in us. To know and to will exactly what God wants and wills for our living. The author didn't end there, though. It's the third verse. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, completely, totally thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us, my friends. He comes to live within us, to transform us into the righteousness of God. Not that we can do it. Not that David can be Jesus by His own power, but by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we can truly be transformed by God's power, and over time take on a little more and a little more and a little more of the righteousness of God. It's a miracle, my friends. It's a miracle that any of us ever change. It's a miracle that any of us are ever transformed. It's a miracle that any of us ever discover that our will is becoming more and more in congruity, in agreement with what God's will is for us. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. In Wesleyan theology, we call that sanctifying grace. That the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives transforms us by sanctifying grace. The grace sanctifies us, makes us more and more and more like Jesus. Until, as the author of the hymn today said, until all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Until Jesus left us and went into heaven to be with the Father, He couldn't send the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to convict the world of sin. And He couldn't send the Holy Spirit to come and live within us, so that we ourselves, by the power of the Holy Spirit, could communicate to, could relate, could show forth the love and righteousness of God to all the world. Thirdly,
and about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Firstly, about sin. Secondly, about righteousness. Thirdly, about judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Who's the ruler of this world? Who does Scripture identify as being the prince of the power of the air? Beelzebub, Satan, the devil, the dark and evil one, the prince of darkness. Not some guy running around in white tights, red tights, and a tail, and horns, and a pitchfork. The devil, Satan, whom we don't hear a whole lot about from pulpits these days. The ruler of the world, the powers and forces of darkness. The Holy Spirit comes to deliver us from him. To provide judgment upon him, to root out his influence in our lives, and to deliver us from that which he brings, which is death, separation from God. Here's the final verse from the hymn, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. I'm going to live with you eternally, God, when you breathe on me your breath, your Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit comes to us to live within us, to convict the world and ourselves of sin, that we really do fall short of the glory of God. The Holy Spirit comes to transform us. Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He did, thank God. But also he died to give us, by the Holy Spirit, the ability to overcome the sin nature within us and to live according to his will. And the Holy Spirit comes to judge Satan, to judge the powers and forces of darkness, to judge evil and oppression and injustice, and proclaim victory over them all. And that's a victory over death indeed, my friends. So you know what? It's a good thing that Jesus went away. It's a good thing that he went away and went to God in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. We may not want him to. The disciples certainly didn't. But it's a good thing for you and me that he did. Because of that, because he went away, we have the Holy Spirit here today. Now the world looks upon us and says, "These guys are nuts." That's what the people in Jerusalem said. They said, "These people are filled with new wine." And I always get a kick out of Peter's reply. He said, we can't be filled with new wine. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." No. This is a manifestation of the presence of God, my friends. Repeat throughout Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the presence of God was reflected through many different things, through stormy wind and pillars of fire and smoke, through earthquakes, to the fluttering of doves, to the silence, through the waters parting and coming together. Throughout the whole Old Testament and into the New Testament, God's presence is proclaimed in many ways, especially in the real presence of Jesus, which we can come to know through the very many means of grace that we have in this community of faith. And this real presence sometimes manifests itself in ways that look to the world a little strange. And that's what the world was saying about the early church, the first church on its first day these people are crazy or they're drunk. We need to proclaim to the world, no, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I ask you today, are you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are. But sometimes the life of the Holy Spirit within us becomes muted, becomes quieted, becomes pushed to the background because it's sometimes uncomfortable. Sometimes we push the Holy Spirit back out of fear of what He will do in our lives. Sometimes we step away from the Holy Spirit due to fear that He will call us to do something that might be a little bit frightening, a little bit scary. Well, my friends, today, on this Pentecost Sunday, you are invited to take a step back towards the Holy Spirit. You are invited to come if you feel so called and to kneel and to pray that the Holy Spirit would move through your life again. You're invited to do that seated in your pews if you're more comfortable. But God is calling you today on this Pentecost Sunday to come and to open your heart again to the real presence of Jesus, to the means of grace that we have in prayer, to come and to kneel and to pray, or to sit and to pray, and open your life again so that the Holy Spirit might use you again. Come if you feel called and rededicate your life to living with the Holy Spirit again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.